One of the amazing things about the human body and the way God made us is the ability for us to appreciate sound. Our ears aren't all that big, and other animals, some are able to hear better than we can hear, but combined with the intellectual and emotional complexities that make us up, sound and to be able to hear, it's a wonderful blessing. I have heard that people who are totally deaf have a very distinct sense of isolation. We become so used to the background noises of our lives that we think we don't hear them. For instance, you can probably hear the air conditioner working. You might hear the fan that's above your head working. There might be some traffic noise as cars go by. Hopefully you can hear my voice. And there are other things, other sounds that attend your day. But imagine if they were all taken away, so that if you closed your eyes and sat perfectly still, that you might only have the one sense of touch where you could feel what you were sitting on. Everything else is a zero. There would be a sense of isolation. Hearing is so important. And in fact, one of Jesus' favorite sayings was, "Whoso hath an ear, let him hear." An ear. Well, we've got two. But Jesus said, if you just have one, listen, hear what is being said. Our modern world has developed various warning systems. We have smoke alarms. We have weather radios. There are diagnostic tests that doctors do. In your automobile, there may be idiot lights. And if that light comes on or the other light comes on, you know that there's a problem. And so what a wonderful thing it is to have so many different ways of being warned, but hearing still is one of the most important ways. My father-in-law used to say that when he traveled, that he didn't operate the radio, that he wanted to listen to the car, listen to the sound of the motor, listen to the sound of the wheels. That was his entertainment as he traveled. I thought, how boring. But nevertheless, he wanted to hear what was going on with the automobile. The fact that the radio might have had an interesting song on it really didn't matter. He wanted to know that the car was working properly all the time. That's like hearing is to us, that we want to know that everything about us is as it ought to be. These things that I talked about, they're there for our safety and our protection. And when those warnings fail, we may suffer loss. Sometimes you might experience the problem of you're trying to cook something in the kitchen and there's a little bit of smoke. And the next thing you know, the smoke alarm goes off. And you have to stop what you're doing and go and try to get that thing silenced. And the temptation is, just take the battery out of it. It'll never make another peep. But you know, when we ignore warnings, the loss that we incur is a loss that we chose. And likewise with the smoke alarm. Many times, firemen have found smoke alarms in houses that have suffered terrible fire and loss of life. The batteries were either dead or missing. The warning system was gone. Oh, it was there, but it wasn't functioning. My point of this introduction is that we need to be listening. We need to be hearing the important things and be a good hearer, not just a hearer only. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Are you listening? Are you giving heed to the things that come in your ears? Well, wise people hear and act. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, used the parable of the wise and foolish builder. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jesus is saying that if you hear and do, you're like the wise man. Many people hear, but not everybody does. We want to be regarded as wise, but also we should try to be wise because that's the only safe course. To be foolish is to throw away our protection. It's to throw caution to the wind and to invite disaster. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. The Old Testament often talks about fools, and especially in the book of Proverbs, and it never has anything good to say about them. They're always the lost cause. And here the Proverbs writer says that one word of reproof is more effective in helping a wise person than 100 examples of correction to a fool. There's an old saying concerning giving advice is that the wise don't need it and the foolish won't listen. So don't give advice. Well, it's all right to give advice, but I hope you can see the point that the wise person, they may not need any advice. And the foolish person, they won't listen to your advice. But here, the idea of listening, of giving heed. Likewise, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. The wise person sees correction as an opportunity to grow. It lets him know the need to make some changes that are beneficial to him. Whereas the foolish person, they just resent it. You said something that upset their parade, that rained on their happiness. And so don't tell me what I don't want to hear. But the wise person recognizes that something that is amiss in their life, if somebody helps them to see that, that they can make those corrections and live a better life. The scriptures often reprove and rebuke us. We're not people that like to invite rebukes and reproving and things like that. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We like to read the stories in the Bible that make us feel good. We read various things and we think, oh, that's nice. But when we read in the Bible things that tell us to correct our lives, well, we might not like that. But that's a part of the Bible. It's a part of God's effort to try to save us. Those who hear and do, that's like Jesus' family. You know, family listens to one another, or at least they should. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, there were some people that had come to see Jesus, Mary and his brothers. And Jesus had the whole crowd of people around him, and they were wanting to get up to Jesus and say something to him. And somebody said, your mother and brothers are wanting to see you. And notice what Jesus says. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Those folks over there, they're my relatives. But the people who hear and do the will of God, that's my mother, that's my brother, that's my sister. I have a closer affinity to the people who will hear and do than those folks that I was raised with or that raised me. Yes, family's important. But here Jesus says the most important thing is to be a hearer and a doer of God's word, because then Jesus says, I recognize them as my family, my brothers. Only those who do the Father's will honor him as Lord. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." A lot of people want to give lip service to God, and they call on the name of the Lord. They call out Jesus, but they won't do what he commands. He says, these are not the ones who actually honor me as Lord. They're just making a noise. It's those who do the will of the Father. They have heard and they are doing what God said. We all enjoy, hopefully, a good relationship in our families. And we have many fond memories of times together as a family. Family is an important concept in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, John writes, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Here John is contrasting the children of God and the children of the devil. And who is it that's the children of God? Those who do righteousness, not just those who hear righteous things, or those who say righteous things, but they are doers of righteousness. Those who hear and do not, though, are not wise. Again, Jesus, in the parable of the wise and foolish builder, after talking about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Now again, Jesus is saying that if you hear what I say and you don't do them, you're like somebody who builds a house without an adequate foundation. We understand the importance of foundations under houses, that the ground may shift and you need something really stable under that house that's going to prevent it from cracking and having all kinds of problems. Those first cracks form and then vermin can make a way into the house. Ants and things, and then you've got more troubles. We don't want that to happen. Build a good, solid foundation. Here, Jesus is saying that the foundation is his word, not just hearing it, but doing it. The Bible holds out, again, little hope for fools, as I said earlier. Reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. It's easy to deceive ourselves. You know, perhaps if there's anyone who has conned us, it's ourselves. We read and see on the news various scams that are being performed, people making phone calls and claiming to be the bank and saying, "You've got to send money in the next hour or we're going to send the federals to come and to haul you away or to confiscate your property." And people panic and they send money to some bank account and they find out later that it was all false. We need to understand that we can't be fools. We've got to listen. We've got to not just listen, but do. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Such a person has a mere pretense of faith. Having the privilege of being a preacher, I see things from a different perspective. I see it from up here. You're seeing it from down there. But notice what the writer Ezekiel was told by God in chapter 33, beginning at verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the wall and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. When this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." God told Ezekiel, you're like entertainment to the people. They'll come and they'll sit and they'll look up and they'll listen to what you have to say and nod their heads. But when they go home, they've been unaffected by it. They'll still live the same way they were before. But Ezekiel was told, you keep on preaching anyway. I keep on preaching anyway. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's so easy to talk and not do. It's so easy to listen and just turn around and go back about our lives like we ordinarily did. Because change is always hard. They attend, they look at the preacher, and they go away untouched. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, they were willing to listen, but they didn't want to do. Good hearers are attentive, while poor ears seem to have no interest. People are interested in the words of Jesus. You know, if you read the New Testament, you'll see just there's some wonderful things that Jesus had to say. And we marvel at the wisdom and the beauty of the teachings of Jesus. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is just unparalleled in any other kind of writing. People came to Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 48, all the people were very attentive to hear him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And that's good. In fact, there were some people who were sent to arrest Jesus. We think of them as like the temple police. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent them to go get Jesus and to bring him in. And they went. But then they came back without him. And their superiors questioned them, why didn't you bring him? And in verse 46 of John 7, it says, they answered, never man spake like this man. They'd never heard anybody that spoke like Jesus. They heard him. Now, it appears that it still didn't affect them in the sense that, you know, they didn't become followers of Jesus, but at least they couldn't interrupt him. They couldn't find it in their hearts to go and to take hold of him and to pull him away from his task. They just had to go back and report to their superiors that they couldn't bring him. Nobody ever spoke like this. They were attentive. The people were interested, but many of them were not convinced. There's a certain beauty in a well-crafted speech. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, it's not every time that a person can get up and give some kind of a speech like that, that people say, what a marvelous piece of composition. What a rhetorical masterpiece. A lot of times it's interspersed with hesitations and misusages of language, and we, you know, kind of fumble through a lesson. But when somebody speaks in a very educated and refined way, we often appreciate it. And some of the best speakers, I'm afraid, are many of our politicians. They've practiced and practiced. However, it's the content and not the form that's important. It's the point of the message. It's the ideas and not the way they're presented that counts. Good hearers are interested in being made better. Peter was an attending listener to Jesus. He had heard many of the things that Jesus had to say. Many of the other people did too. But a lot of them, they just chose to reject Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 6 that many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. And Jesus said to his disciples, that is to the apostles, will ye also go away? And Peter replied, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no other place that we would rather go than to be listening to you, because you are the one who is giving us the thing that we need the most, and that's how to be saved, how to live forever. We need to value the words of God above all other words that are spoken. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, we all enjoy our food, I hope, but Job says, I'd rather listen to the word of God than eat. I'd rather hear what God has to say than enjoy a good meal. Well, why? Just because it's entertaining listening? No, because it helps me, because it guides me, and that it warns me and is a blessing to me. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Jesus said there's a lot of people that had hearing trouble. They were dull of hearing. They listened, but they wouldn't allow it into their hearts. To them, it was just an entertaining speech. They felt good about it. I've heard of people that said, I really enjoy the preaching that I hear in the Church of Christ. But they don't obey the gospel and become members. They just like the style of preaching. Well, that's fine to like a style, but it's not the style we should come to hear. It's the content. How can it help me? What does it tell me that I need, that I'm lacking, that I should do? Many people have a hard time hearing something uncomfortable. That is, if it's concerning correction, if it's something they need to change about their lives, they don't like it. Oftentimes they are quick to believe bad things of others, but they don't want to believe that there's anything about themselves that needs corrected. James tells us that they're kind of like people that forget in chapter 1, verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The picture is of a person who goes and looks in the mirror, sees his face, turns around, walks away, and thinks, what do I look like? I can't remember. How can you not forget what you look like? But James says the person who's a hearer but not a doer of the word is like that. They see things that they need to make changes about, but then as soon as they move on, they don't make changes. They don't do anything. On the other hand, good hearers hear all things that are commanded. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius has invited Peter to come to his home and speak to him. He didn't know about what exactly, but he said to him when he got there, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius said, we know that God has given you a message and we want to hear it. Just because it was an interesting message? No, he realized that there was something he needed in it and some way that it would help him. Hearing is the first step, as it were, in the plan of God for salvation of souls. People need to hear the gospel, because without hearing the gospel, they're not believed. Honest, interested hearing will produce faith. People will believe in Christ and they will want to change their life. True faith will prompt repentance from sin, confession of Christ, and baptism for remission of sins. We need to be a good hearer, but not just a good hearer, but a doer of the work. So this morning, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ and indeed believe he is God's Son, why not decide today to repent of sin, to confess your faith before men, and to be buried with Jesus in baptism for remission of sins. As a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer in repenting of sin and asking God to forgive. Our song of encouragements for you as we stand and as we sing.